Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Adam McManus, host of The Worldview in 5 Minutes at theworldview.com, is with us, and you can catch 5 minutes every day. Worldview in 5 minutes. Get a biblical perspective of the news on a daily basis at theworldview.com. Adam McManus, the anchor for that program. Kevin Swanson with you here. And today we're dealing with cultural issues somewhat because the cultural leaders in America are probably as influential, if not more influential, than the political leaders and the ecclesiastical leaders. It's not as if the pastors, it's not as if the political leaders, it's not as if the Supreme Court of the United States is anywhere near as powerful, influential as Hollywood, Nashville, Lady Gaga, and Lecrae. Today we're going to bring Lecrae back and analyze some of his teachings because, friends, he's one of the most influential American Christians these days. He's got 3 million in album sales, and at this point he's bigger than Lauren Daigle. He's probably bigger than any other Christian performing artist at this point in American history. Michael W. Smith sold more albums than Lecrae. But Lecrae at this point, I'm talking about where we are right now, is a Christian leader, perhaps even more influential than Al Mohler and Franklin Graham. Let's just be honest. It's the contemporary Christian musicians that lead the nation. So again, we come back to what's the theology, who are the pastors, what are they teaching the nation? And I think it's important for us to come back to the cultural leaders and ask ourselves, what is it that the hip-hop artists and the rap artists have to share to lead the nation? It's not Martin Luther, John Calvin, and St. Augustine anymore. It's Lecrae. He's leading the nation in the theological sense. And we've touched on this before, but this is some bad theology going on here. How in the world did we lose so much ground in the state of Georgia? Adam, two pro-abortion candidates made it into the U.S. Senate. At least that's what CNN is telling us at this point. How in the world did the state of Georgia get behind two pro-abortion candidates and elect them to shift the balance of powers of the United States of America and probably for the whole world, reintroducing persecution, Christian persecution to America, and, of course, increasing the slaughter of the innocents and all the rest? How does that happen? Well, it happens because of guys like Lecrae and his bad theology. We want to deal with that today. And Adam, were you somewhat surprised when you saw that clip from December 14th where this well-known Christian rapper Lecrae used his talents to rally up Georgians to come out and vote early for the Democrat candidates for the U.S. Senate? That was December 14th. That was only, what, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Lecrae was out there with the Ossoff campaign on a Get Out the Early Vote rally and concert in Atlanta, and the advertisement for the event is located on discern.org, I believe it is. Yes, DISRN.com. It's a news source we use from time to time. DISRN. DISRN.com carries this story. And so if you want to see the brochure, if you want to check out the video, there's actually a video of Lecrae performing at the pro-abortion Democrat campaign in Atlanta, Georgia on December 14th. Something of a shocker to see this.
It wasn't just John Ossoff. It was also for Raphael Warnock. It was for both Democratic candidates, December 14th, hosting the Get Out the Early Vote rally and concert in Atlanta. It's odd because you and I have both looked at a video that he recorded, oddly enough, 11 days, only 11 days beforehand, December 3rd, 2020, which has already gotten about 59,000 views. It's entitled Lecrae. By the way, his name is spelled L-E-C-R-A-E. If you'd like to look this YouTube video up, it's about 9 minutes in length. Lecrae shares his thoughts about abortion. And he starts out right on solid ground, talking about the fact that he's quote-unquote pro-life, that Psalm 139 is clear, that we're created by God in the womb. In fact, Kevin, listen to this 45-second clip to get a good idea of what he says about his pro-life convictions.
I have a million reasons to be pro-life. And when I say pro-life, I mean a million reasons to care for the unborn. ultimately, I believe what the scripture says, that I knew you before you were formed in the womb, what the scripture says about your God's workmanship created for things that he's pre-planned, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I can go on and on for reasons why I believe that life is precious, that we should not just simply for the realities of our, you know, social circumstances, throw lives away. I've written songs about this, Good, Bad, Ugly. I've sat down with Christian leaders who are advocates for pro-life and pastors.
And then about 4 minutes and 30 seconds into this 9-minute video, he talks about a time when he and his girlfriend felt like they had no other option but to abort their child. They presumably came from a place of poverty. And he said no organization reached out to him, no advocate reached out to him. There are lots of crisis pregnancy centers everywhere. All you have to do is Google them. They will provide free pregnancy tests, free diapers, free cribs, free baby clothes, free formula, parent training classes, nutritional help. And of course, there are in any given year up to 1 million couples like Amy and I, for example, who would love to adopt a baby. So in my view, his later explanation at the 4 minute 30 second mark of this video about sharing his thoughts about abortion, that somehow his poverty is justification for abortion, is really double talk. I mean, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, as the scripture says. You cannot say on the one hand, yes, you're pro-life, you believe Psalm 139, 13 through 16, that God created that child in the womb, and yet somehow justify an abortion that presumably you helped to pay for, or you encouraged, or you gave your blessing to. He should indicate that he regrets that, and he did have other choices, but he simply chose to cover up his own sexual promiscuity before marriage.
Well, it's disappointing that he focuses in on the environmental nurture elements that apparently opened up the opportunity for him to engage in this horrible act of murder with his girlfriend. And yet, you know, it seems to me this sort of excuse, this focal point on the environmental cause is no good for the Christian. We don't go there. We don't blame the environment. We don't blame the devil. We don't blame the husband for making me do this or the wife for making me do that. By the way, that's not going to work on Judgment Day. You stand on Judgment
No.
Day before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, well, you know, it was just the environment. We grew up in an impoverished area and we just didn't have any other options, so we killed the kid. That's just not going to work. I mean, what we really need to do is just say, hey, we have hearts that are just consumed in sin. And yes, I mean, sin this way and that way and this other way and this other way. But, you know, we happen to choose to sin, and we need to take responsibility for these sins. We need to be as the publican, not pointing to anybody else, not pointing out the environment. Now, of course, the environment exists, and there are environmental forces and encouragements that push us one direction or another direction, but ultimately it's our heart that leads us to the sins of murder and all the others. So it was disappointing to me to hear that. And of course, his main point here is to get to the political. He's trying to move away from the personal to the political. So should we vote for pro-life candidates who are going to legislate against abortion, or should we become socialists and Marxists and be more focused on adjusting the environment, reducing poverty, and thereby removing some of the environmental causes that might encourage the sin of abortion? So that's what he's getting to at the 430, 440 mark. So I just play a little piece of this to give you an idea of why Lecrae, one of the most important evangelical cultural leaders of America, is campaigning for pro-abortion candidates in Georgia and thereby shifting the worldwide balance of powers towards that which is evil, that which is tyrannical, and that which is opposed to God's law, which has happened in just the last few days in the Georgia runoff. So here's the man responsible, at least to some extent, for that. And I think it's important to understand what is his theology? Why is he doing what he's doing?
That was our only option in our minds.
Abortion was the only option for him and his girlfriend, is what he's saying.
I'm more passionate about engaging the environments that
allow abortion to thrive in, right? If we are, I know some people say, hey, this is just a moral issue, and that's all that it is. It's a moral issue, but it's also a social economic issue. It's also an issue of systemic oppression and marginalization. And if you don't address those issues, then you're not going to deal with, you know, what ultimately allows abortion to thrive.
All right, so that's his position, and that was defense for voting Democrat. And I didn't say that's my defense for voting Democrat, but as you said very, very succinctly, Adam, he produced that, or that went up onto YouTube some week or two prior to his campaigning for the pro-abort candidates in Georgia. And friends, these are some of those dangerous words I think you're going to hear. And Adam, your thoughts on some of what he said?
Well, I just need to emphasize how pro-abortion these Democratic senatorial candidates are for those that might have missed one of our previous shows. Raphael Warnock specifically received $376,986 from Planned Parenthood Votes, their political arm. That's a lot of money. In fact, Warnock, a Baptist pastor, actually said on WGAU radio that, quote, abortion is health care, end quote. So these folks have no conscience. They have no soul. They have sold themselves to the highest bidder, and they're doing the devil's work. They have turned a blind eye or even approved of Planned Parenthood killing 30,656 babies in Georgia. 63% of them are black babies, interestingly. So here is a black Christian rapper named Lecrae endorsing candidates who are behind black genocide and the murder giant Planned Parenthood. It's so sad. It's so tragic. It's especially problematic in light of his Christian claim and his alleged pro-life view. I mean, this is the problem with the modern day American Christian who really doesn't think too deeply. On the one side, they say, yes, I'm pro-life because God says the child in the womb is someone that he created. And yet, on the other hand, they justify abortion because of circumstance, because of environment, and they think that really the governmental answer is just to give out more stimulus checks to the downtrodden and the impoverished. It's this double-mindedness that's the problem.
I think people need to understand how significant this is for a leading evangelical voice. Make no mistake about it, Lecrae is known for his Christian orthodoxy in his lyrics. He's known for, you know, being a fairly consistent evangelical Christian, and yet he's set this trajectory towards embracing a Pelagian view of things. And Pelagius effectively taught that the problem was more the environment than it was the human heart, and therefore focused on environment as the real problem that brings about sin in society. So that was Pelagius in his teaching, as opposed to the typical Orthodox Augustinian way of thinking about human nature. And that's where we go wrong. Now, he's saying they want to engage the environmental causes. Let's fix the environmental causes, because that's the thing that matters most. Let's fix the social issues, the economic issues. Let's fix those issues. And he goes on to say, if you just outlaw abortion, I know for a fact that's not going to be the solution. Okay, so that comes on later in the video, which means what he's saying is, if you guys want to try outlawing abortion, you know, it's just going to be futile, so don't bother with it. That's what he's saying, while at the same time he says, well, what we're going to focus on is the socialist solution to deal with the impoverishment of inner city society. That's what he's going for. Now, friends, on the one hand, we do want to be careful that we don't overstate the role of government. Government's job is not to fix problems, not to fix the problem of abortion. It's actually not to reduce abortion necessarily. It's not to reduce murder necessarily or bank robbery, but it is to obey God in bringing sanctions against the bank robber, the murderer, and the abortionist. So Lecrae is giving way to pragmatism here. He wants a certain outcome, and he says, okay, to get the certain outcome, that is a decrease in abortion, let's just be socialists, and let's redistribute more wealth, and let's solve the problem of poverty, And if we solve some of these social and economic problems, then maybe we'll have less abortions at the end. So it's just pragmatism rather than an obedience to God's law when it comes to the implementation of righteous laws according to God's laws in the civil magistrate. He blames the environment for committing the sin of murder. And sure, the sins of the fathers and bad influences affect the inner city young men and young women. So there's a fair amount of murder that goes on in the inner cities. And there's a fair amount of abortion that goes on in the inner cities. We know this. And the sins of the fathers really do affect the third and fourth generation of those who hate God, as we read in the commandments. And these bad influences do make for bad choices. We get that. But we got to be careful that we continue to address the problem of the heart. Because at the end of the day, the problem is rebellion against God. Those who abort their children are rebelling against God. Now, Lecrae is still involved in government. So if he was just saying, you know what, I'm not even going to enter into the discussion. We're not going to talk about government. We're just going to open up pro-life centers and, you know, we're not even going to encourage socialism. We're just going to open up some pro-life centers and be there for young ladies who are in need of assistance if they find themselves pregnant. So, you know, he could do that. He could say, you know, I just decided not to get involved in government, but he didn't do that. Instead, he said, I'm going to support guys who are pro-abortion. I'm going to support socialists, Marxists. I'm going to support somebody in the 2021 runoff elections in Georgia. So he did. He's still involved in government, encouraging people to get out the vote. So he has an obligation to understand the purpose of civil government. The point is, Lecrae is a professing Christian. He's out there encouraging people to get out the vote for Democrat candidates, pro-abortion candidates that are bound and determined to disobey God's laws and bring about more chaos in society. So if he's interested in government, then he should go to the Word of God. And the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. And what we find in Romans 13 is the civil magistrate is there. He's a minister of God. An avenger of evil upon him who does evil. Because, as we read in Romans 13, the civil magistrate does not use the sword in vain. That is, the civil magistrate is not there to redistribute wealth. The civil magistrate is not there to adjust environments. The civil magistrate is not there for schools and education and redistribution of wealth and food stamps. No, no, no. The civil magistrate is there to use a sword, to go after bad guys, to legislate against murder, to hang people who kill little babies and rape women. That's what the civil magistrate is there for. That's its most basic function. In fact, the most basic function of the civil magistrate, as clearly expressed in Genesis 9:6, is if man sheds man's blood, and that includes the blood of little babies in abortion clinics. If man sheds man's blood, and that includes little babies who are slaughtered in abortion clinics, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's what it said. No uncertain terms, God has assigned to the civil magistrate the responsibility to use the sword against those who commit murder. So the civil magistrate is commanded by God to legislate against murder and should do so. Not because it necessarily decreases the incidence of murder. Now, I happen to think that it will. I think Lecrae's wrong. I think you begin to bring some discouragements into, you know, American jurisprudence, as they did in the 1880s, when the first abortionists came from France in the 1860s and 70s, Madame Ristel and others. You remember that, everybody should remember that it rather discouraged abortion in New York City for at least 100 years. So, yeah, if you legislate against abortion, you hang abortionists for killing babies, you're going to discourage abortion. There could be a few less abortions. You're not going to have 7 million a year. You may have, you know, 1,100 a year. But again, that's not the reason why the civil magistrate should do this. The civil magistrate, as righteous leaders and certainly Christians who advocate for certain candidates and Christians who are bringing their rap music into campaigns in Georgia, should commit themselves to God's law instead of committing themselves to violating God's law and to encourage others to violate God's laws. So Lecrae is confused. The problem was with the 19th century do-gooders. That's where it actually started. They were effectively Pelagians. They thought the solution to crime was to change the environment. So they wanted to eliminate poverty. That's when they eliminated the death penalty in America. The death penalty went out the door in the 1870s and 1880s thanks to the do-gooders who wanted to violate God's laws. They're Pelagians. They thought that somehow you change the environment, you change the heart. And that's not what happens. And it's not the responsibility of government to do so. But it's, of course, those who follow the wrong theology, not a biblical theology, but a socialist, humanist theology, who want to somehow change the environment in order to somehow decrease poverty and somehow decrease the incidence of crime. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But the 19th century do-gooders eliminated the death penalty. They started up all the welfare programs. They abandoned private charity. And they moved towards socialist forms of charity. You can read more about it in America and God's Providence. We outlined the increase of socialism displacing the laws of God in destroying the nation. And that goes all the way back to the 1880s. Government's purpose is not to redistribute the wealth. It is to punish the evildoer. And it does not use the sword in vain. Regardless of the environment of the criminal, the rapist, the girl that kills her child by tossing the little baby into a dumpster or uses a hanger on the child, the criminal should be dealt with by the sword of the state. And that's a command of God. And that's something that Lecrae needs to, that's something that Lecrae needs to come up to speed with. I think the bottom line here is the church has not equipped the men of God for every good work. There hasn't been a discipleship for Lecrae, and the end result has been disastrous.
There is a tweet that he issued on January 2nd, which initially said, for the record, you do not have to be what evangelical Christians say you have to be to love the Lord. I'm no leftist or Marxist. They fear me because I'm not the right-wing conservative they demand I be. I'm a Christ follower. He subsequently revised that tweet to say, for the record, you don't have to be what evangelicalism / religious right says you have to be to love the Lord. How do you interpret that?
Okay. All right. But the bottom line is that this guy doesn't need to be following evangelicals. He needs to be following the Word of God. Actually, I think evangelicalism, for the most part, has been utterly an utter failure in communicating God's laws and God's commandments and equipping the man of God for every good work, whether it be the voter, the politician, the cultural leader. It just seems to me that there has been almost no discipleship of the nations on the part of evangelical churches in America. Well, back in August, we referred to this, I think, about 6 or 7 months ago on our program. Lecrae was also interviewed on VLAD TV. And he explained that he doesn't condemn or look down on those who are homosexual. And he added that he would support his kids regardless of who they choose to marry. He went on to say that that effectively his son choosing to marry in the same-sex vein would be equal to his son just wanting to play football and not basketball. He said, I might prefer basketball, but if he wants to play football, that's fine. I'll support him in doing that. I love you, even if you prefer to play basketball. I love you, the person I'm going to walk with you. I'm still be with you for the rest of your life. Whether or not you play basketball, football, marry your sister, your pet sheep, or rob a bank, I still support you in this. So that was the language he used on VLAD TV. Again, I put in a few other examples there. I redacted the interview briefly. We don't want to go there again. We did an entire program on that some 6 months ago. But the point is that we're abandoning God's word. We're not keeping the commandments of God. We may say that we're keeping the faith of Jesus, but as Revelation 14, verse 12 tells us, true Christians in the end times, which I would say would be at any point from roughly AD 70 to the present, true Christians are identified as those who keep the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God. The problem with these evangelicals is they're only good with about half of that. They'll keep the faith of Jesus but forget the commandments of God. And that seems to be what's happening with so many of these evangelical leaders today. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I'd encourage you to our book on culture called The Tattoo Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And I deal with many of these cultural issues and these cultural leaders that profess to be something of leading the evangelical world via their music. But, friends, so much of it has been counterproductive. And we need to be somewhat critical of the cultural leaders of the day within evangelicalism. And that's why this book, this rather controversial book. That's probably my most controversial book. I don't think I got much more than a 4.0 stars on Amazon.com on it because, you know, you get something of the U shape on the reviews for the tattooed Jesus, what the real Jesus would do with pop culture. But it doesn't matter if it's popular or not. What we really want to do is come down to the Word of God and what the Word of God says about popular culture. And that's what we attempt to do in this book, The Tattooed Jesus, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.